Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. We'll read verses 8 through 11, working our way this evening through the fourth commandment in our series on the Ten Commandments, God's Great Gift. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. I'll read out loud, asking you to follow along quietly. This is God's word. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. More to be desired than gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, we bless you for the inspired word of God. We thank you especially for the 10 words, the 10 commandments, so uniquely brought to us, unmediated as it were, by the living God upon the rock of Sinai. We pray, O Lord, that we would heed and hear your commands, seeing its wisdom in spite of the folly of our age, which believes that the rationality of culture and human society surpasses the infinite God. Oh Lord, we know that your commandments are faith principles. We express trust in you as we heed and hear and obey. But Lord, you know we sin against you daily in thought, word, and deed, and grace is found in Jesus. And so we pray that Christ, you would empower your people and guide us into such healthy, sacred living of work and rest. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, on that day that Pastor Ron Mell woke up from serious heart surgery, the first thing that he saw swimming before his eyes was a person. An old family friend, a pastor friend, who unexpectedly said to Ron this, "Are you proud of yourself now? You work 7 days a week, run from appointment to appointment, and you think you have to be there every day of the week or nothing will get done. And you think we're impressed with you. Well, look what you've done. You've disobeyed God all these years, and now is it going to take killing yourself altogether before you obey?" Well, Pastor Ron woke up that day and decided then and there things would be different. All I can say is I hope something this drastic does not have to happen to you and me to get our attention on the fourth commandment. It's very simple, the fourth commandment. God commands you to rest. God commands you to cease, to desist, and to renew. Before he instituted the church, before he instituted the state, even the human family, the first pattern found in creation is God instituting rest. The Bible says after God created the heavens and the earth, he rested on the seventh day. He blessed it, he hallowed it, and he commands us to keep the rhythm. And he does it because he loves us. God loves you. But we Americans, we're so smart, right? We're smart. We're so smart to ignore the rhythm. We pretend to be wiser than God. Our homes are filled with labor-saving technology, but we, have you noticed, are busier than ever before? These devices meant to save us time have actually created bondage all of the hours of the day and night. We rush from place to place. We fill every minute with frenzied activity, spending less and less time on relationship and more time on nicer homes, faster cars, fashionable furniture. All the while, we grow more empty. And we hear it at church on Sundays. We come to church, and what do we hear from friends? I'm burned out. I'm tired. I'm empty. What am I going to do? And your answer as the church should be rest. You need to honor the Sabbath. Now, if you notice that the fourth commandment is the longest of the Ten Commandments, it's a long one. This is the one that always trips those poor kids up, right? When we're doing catechism club or vacation Bible school, oh, wow, this is the Bible verse you get stuck on. But this longer verse can be broken down into three parts. First, verse 8 tells us what to do, 9 and 10, how to do it, and verse 11, why. So we begin with our first point tonight, what to do. What are you commanded to do in verse 8? Look there with me and notice the opening words. Look at it. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Stop. You are commanded to remember. You are commanded to remember to rest. And that is remarkable. Have you ever had a boss who reminded you, hey, remember now, take it easy? That's a little different. And yet God, our ultimate boss, says, hey, rest. Literally, he commands us to cease, to desist. That's what Shabbat means in Hebrew. Rest yourselves physically and spiritually. One day out of seven. Do it. Now, what I find most interesting is the verse opens up with this command for you to remember it. Not just the doing, to remember it. Why? Because we are prone to forget. We are prone to forget to rest. You see, we're so used to people telling us, work, 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 do, do, come on, get over here. What are you doing? Come on, get moving. In fact, this can happen so long throughout the week, we have to remember, hey, you got to rest. Sometimes we get so engaged in our lives for 6 days that you have to actually take your mind off of it. Relax yourself and remember to rest. You know, sometimes it's not obvious that you need to rest. It takes somebody else to tell you, hey, sit down. You look a little wobbly here. You're slapping things around and you're getting a little dangerous. Hey, sit down and rest. You got to remember. I remember when the kids were young and I'd finish up work, and when I'm coming home and I might come through the garage, and just before I would enter into the house through the kitchen, I would say, Steve, put your work away. Get it out of your head. Right? You got something else going on here. Get the work out of your head. And God says, you got to remember. Now, remembering is more than memories. When God says to remember to rest, what he means by it is prepare in advance to rest. You've got to think about it beforehand. You don't get all worked up and finally go, all right, I'm here to rest. Don't work like that. It doesn't. And so you've got to keep the idea that you need rest in your head throughout the week. And you've got to prepare for it or you won't do it. All right, let me ask you a question, men. Husbands, have you ever forgotten your wedding anniversary? I brought up a sore subject. Have you ever forgotten your wedding anniversary and you remember it that day? Well, men, if you are not prepared in advance with flowers in one hand and candy in the other, well, you've blown it. It's too late on the day of. You're not prepared. The day might be a little on the ruined side, and you've got 364 days to live in that misery. So you've got to prepare. Remember, that's what it means. Prepare for it. Plan on it. Think about what you're going to do in advance to make sure you have the seasons of rest God commands. Now let me pause for a minute before we dig into the commandment. Why are we here today? Why do Christians, or at least most, celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday? It's a good question. You see, the original Sabbath was on what day? What day? Anybody? Yeah, Saturday. Why the change to Sunday? Well, Saturday used to be the day, and that was an ideal day when it was. It was really great. We celebrated on the Saturday because our Bible text says this, that God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. It helped us remember creation. God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, but when Jesus came along, suddenly Sunday became a better day to celebrate Sabbath because now we're remembering not just the work of creation, but the work of recreation, the work of Jesus. That Jesus Christ lived and labored, died and rose again to make us brand new, and he didn't do it on the seventh day. No, he did it on the first day. Here are a few reasons why Christians observe Sunday as the Christian Sabbath. Firstly, Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Think about it. He appeared to the women on the first day of the week. He appeared to the disciples without Thomas on the first day of the week. And then he appeared to them again a week later with Thomas there on the first day of the week. According to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the first day of the week. In Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples celebrated the Lord's Supper when? The first day of the week. What did John call the Lord's Day? The first day in Revelation 1, verse 10. And so, secondly, this is where it gets really amazing. That is why, secondly, in the ancient church, Sunday worship was the universal practice. Christians did not worship on Saturday. They worshiped on the first day of the week. For example, in AD 150, Justin Martyr said this, "Sunday is the day on which we all hold our communion assembly because Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day arose from the dead." In the year AD 120, Barnabas wrote these words that Christians, quote, should keep the eighth day, right, with joyfulness, the day in which Jesus rose from the dead. And then by the year AD 200, two very great church fathers, Clement of Alexandria and Tertullian, wrote about Sunday as, quote, the day of Christian worship. And so, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is the Christian Sabbath globally practiced by the early church. So let's remember the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, and that's why we're here today, not yesterday, when you were all busy doing stuff. All right, so that's the first thing, what to do. Secondly, now, we ask the question, how shall we do it? How shall we honor the Sabbath? Well, the balanced answer to this question is very simple. Behave like Jesus and not the Pharisees. That'll get you pretty far. Just behave like Jesus. Look at the life of Jesus. What you see Jesus doing on the Sabbath and not the Pharisees. And you'll go pretty far. And from Jesus, we learn what shows up in our confession of faith is that the Sabbath is a day for worship, rest, and doing good deeds, or as the Shorter Catechism defines good deeds, acts of mercy and necessity. We'll address that in a little bit. All right, so let's look at verses 9 and 10. I'll read them aloud to get what we're supposed to, how to do it. Here we go. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. How do we do it? Well, firstly, and this is what's fascinating, in fact, the first duty of the fourth commandment is often overlooked. The commandment firstly commands you to work. That's the first command. Hey, work. Did you notice what it says? 6 days work. Hey, everybody, 6 days do your work. So the command first is, let's all be hard workers. Do you know procrastination is awful? Don't do that. You know, goofing off, have you ever seen the stats about how much the average office worker actually works in a day? I feel like 2 hours, 2.5 hours of productive work in an 8-hour day. We should labor 6 whole days so that we can really enjoy our rest on the one day. You know, I find it hard to rest when stuff's hanging over my head. Have you ever about to go on vacation? And suddenly, you want everything to be done hours before you're going to leave on vacation. Why? Because you don't want it hanging over your head during vacation. You might roll up your sleeve and start, like, why are you doing, we're leaving, so why are you doing this? Because I don't want it hanging over my head. Exactly. You see, one reason we are to hard work throughout the week is so you can enjoy your rest time. And so if you and I can get better at getting rid of dilly-dallying, delaying, procrastinating, it will help you enjoy your time off. That's one reason we work hard. It's not the only reason. We don't, live for the one day and work for the six so we can live for the one. I mean, there's intrinsic joy in work. But one reason we work hard is so we can enjoy rest with nothing hanging over your head. All right, that's the first duty of the commandment. Here's the second one. The second duty of the commandment is then to worship on that day, to worship. And so on the Sabbath, Christians are not to pursue the normal R&R, rest and relaxation. That's for another day. That's for a recreation day. That's for vacation time. That's for Saturday. That is for free time during the week. Sunday is a day for worship. And we see that if you look in your text at verse 10. It says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Did you see that? The Sabbath to the Lord. We see other scriptures corroborating Leviticus 19 verse 3 calls the Sabbath his Sabbath. It says, you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. In Leviticus 23, verse 3, God calls the Sabbath a holy convocation. What's a convocation? Today, we use it only one time. It's usually graduation. The convocation is the gathering of people publicly to celebrate high school or college graduation. Well, the Sabbath is a holy convocation. We don't hole up in our homes and rest, we come out for a holy convocation, a gathering unto God. You know, Jesus himself spent every Sabbath as a day of worship. Luke 4, verse 16 tells us there, it was his practice to attend synagogue every week for worship. And so Jesus expects us to be where he was on Sabbath day. The focus on worship is what led the Puritans to coin a phrase for the Sabbath, and I like it, the market day of the soul. The market day of the soul. I like that because, you see, what that means is Sabbath is a day for business. It's spiritual business. The Sabbath is a day for trade and commerce. The currency is heaven. The Sabbath is a day for business objectives, kingdom business. But instead of gathering and operating drill presses, using brooms, or hovering over our computer screens, we use the tools of prayer, hearing God's word, singing praises, presenting offerings, celebrating the sacraments, and sharing in Christian fellowship. And the ROI on that, the return on investment, is eternal. It's a good market day of the soul. It's worship. But there's more. The third duty found in this command is rest. Look again at verse 9 into 10. On it you shall do no work. No work. Now, if you're like me, okay, this is a little hard to do. All right? This is hard to do. Because one reason it's hard to do is 6 days out of the week, God lets me do so much. Right? We have freedom to use our time in amazing and industrious ways. And man, sometimes when I hear what you guys do with your time, I'm like, wow, pretty cool. He lets us do so much, and it's so nice of him. But on the Lord's Day, he says, all right, stop it, cease, desist, cut it out. And that is not natural. It is not intuitive. You see, you and I learn, now let me tell you one reason why you fight the Sabbath. We don't learn Sabbath from natural revelation. Right? We learn this from special revelation. God says, there's a 1 in 7 rhythm. Follow it. And we're like, well, where is that in nature? I don't see that anywhere. And so it's not intuitive. For example, during the French Revolution in the 18th century and then the later Russian Revolution in the 20th century, these very secular governments committed to reason, rationality, rather than the supernatural and theism and the divine. These secular governments tried to lengthen the calendar week to 9 or 10 days. Makes sense, right? 10. Base system. Right? 10 is such, I mean, these Gregorian calendars we have, what a hassle, right? You know, so 10. Base everything on 10s, you know? Make it simple, repetition, and it's simple, and so they tried to institute these 9 days of work, 1 day of rest for a total of 10. And it seems so rational in the age of reason. They thought human logic should overthrow old religion and superstition. Well, people got worn out. And it's so fascinating today. We have a 7 day week. 9 days was just too much. There is a divine 6-in-1 rhythm built into humanity, revealed by God in his word. You might not want to stop, but do not be wiser than God. It's God's pattern. Built into the DNA of creation, respect that calendar. You'll honor God and you will bless yourself. Now, let me pause for an interruption. Some of you guys are like, now wait, pastor said live the Sabbath like Jesus, not the Pharisees. I think Jesus worked on the Sabbath, pastor. And that's a good question. By all of his busy work on the Sabbath, was Jesus canceling God's command to rest? Well, you need to realize in context that Jesus deliberately broke some of the first century work rules invented by the scribes and Pharisees, yeah, to prove a point. If you study rabbinic Judaism in the first century, you'll find that the rabbis invented, hold on to your hats, 1,500 unique rules that people must do to keep the Sabbath. It's almost exhausting to think about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the day of rest. Now, here's 1,500 rules to remember. Enjoy your rest. Oh, stop. You know, 1,500 rules, for example. And here's some. You can find them in the Talmud. The rabbis would forbid you to wear heavy shoes on the Sabbath because each time you lifted your foot, you'd be guilty of carrying a burden. Okay, the rabbis would forbid you to look in the mirror on the Sabbath. You might see a gray hair and be tempted to pluck it. That's work. They would forbid you to eat an egg that had been laid on the Sabbath. You'd be encouraging hens to break the fourth commandment. Okay, this is just a petty, complex, burdensome. It was called casuistry by scholars. And so Jesus gladly broke these traditions with alacrity to show them, no, these are burdens. These don't help. But he did not cancel God's command to rest. In fact, by eliminating all these rules, he restored the day to rest when he said the Sabbath was meant for man, not man for the Sabbath. So you enjoy the Lord's day. Relax. Don't twist it with all these legalistic rules. People need rest. Fourthly and finally, the fourth and final duty of this commandment is this: do acts of mercy and necessity. Do them. Now, Jesus did make it clear that certain kinds of work could and should be done on the Sabbath. For example, you ever notice I sweat a little bit up here? I can never tell, actually, how cold or hot this sanctuary is, because I'm always hot up here. So never ask me. If you're ever cold and you want to, don't tell me, tell a deacon. Not that deacons aren't doing a lot of work on Sunday, because they are, but I get really hot up here. And religious workers are very busy on Sunday, and that's good, right? I hope you think it's good. In Matthew 12, verse 5, Jesus cited the priests in the temple as an act that was worthy of the Sabbath. Also, mercy workers, you should be busy on the Sabbath. Sometimes you're a volunteer mercy worker. Sometimes you're a paid mercy worker, whether you're a doctor or a nurse or a firefighter, or whether you're a volunteer visiting the sick, visiting the lonely, visiting the poor and the shut-ins. We'll go to prison, and we sweat in prison for a couple hours on that Sunday. In Matthew 12, verse 9, Jesus felt free to heal the sick on the Sabbath, to the consternation of the Pharisees. In Matthew 12, verse 11, Jesus speaks of lifting a hurt animal out of the pit into which it had fallen. This means we are free and should do things that promote life, that promote health, that promote well-being on that day. You can cook a meal. That is a healthy thing to do. You can call a lonely friend. And especially in our very sedentary and lonely lifestyles, you know, physical exercise and social refreshment is certainly included. It's a day of mercy. It's a day of necessity. This brings us to our final point. We talked about what to do and how to do it. We'll bring it in for a landing in verse 11, and that is why. Why do it? Why the Sabbath? Very simple, it's this. Verse 11, read it with me. I'll read it out loud. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Why do the Sabbath? Because it is God's pattern for life. It's God's. You know, God didn't have to create the Sabbath. God, the infinite God, didn't need to rest after creating in 6 days. He chose to do it, established the rhythm, and gave the gift to me and you. God chose to delight in what he had created and what he would redeem by resting on that day, and he desires you to delight too. To delight in him and to delight in our Redeemer Jesus. Why do it? It's God's pattern. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your commands. They indeed are liberating. In the freedom we enjoy in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are freely constrained to do what is right and beautiful and pure and good. Your commands. So we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to live by the pattern of labor and rest, to do so with zeal, to remember to do it, to make it a priority to do it, to rest, to worship, to gather with your people, to labor in mercy and necessity, to enjoy the rhythm, God's ordained rhythm, together. May we not be chained to our jobs, to money, to idols in this life. May we be fettered to Jesus. It is in his name we pray these things, and let us all say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.